What can we say at this point about the effects in node-negative patients and in terms of clinical practice and decision-making off protocol right now? How are you going to approach it in terms of node-negative disease?
Well, in the Harris study, they included patients with node-negative disease as long as their tumors were greater than a centimeter, and a third such patients participated in the study, but we don't know how many of the events occurred in that study. The NSABP trial had no node-negative patients. The NCCTG/intergroup study enrolled some node-negative patients. They accounted for 14% of the total population, but only 6% of the events. I think it's unlikely that the relative benefits of trastuzumab will be different in node-negative than node-positive patients. On the other hand, the absolute benefit is going to differ because node-negative patients, particularly patients with small node-negative tumors, have a lower risk of having a recurrence. In my mind, for patients who are eligible for the studies, I think it's reasonable to consider trastuzumab. The group of women that I'm a little more cautious about are the group of women with relatively small ER-positive, node-negative breast cancer. I realize that in the Harris study, a woman with a 1 to 2 centimeter ER-positive, node-negative cancer could have been included, but I don't think we have a sense as to the benefit of trastuzumab in that patient because I'm not entirely clear what that woman's risk of disease recurrence is, particularly with modern hormonal therapy. I'm not saying that woman shouldn't receive trastuzumab, but I would say that we have to be a little bit more cautious when we're talking about the lower-risk patients since they are at equal risk as the higher-risk patients to have toxicity.
So in the interim, until we can sort of figure this out, which could be a long time, it seems like maybe the way you could approach this is to look at what the residual risk is after they get whatever therapy they're going to get. So let's say they're going to get chemotherapy. If they're hormone positive, they're going to get hormone therapy, but you're going to come up with a number. And, for example, let's say that number is 10%. And then you're going to be looking at 2 to 4% cardiac effects. Is that kind of the way to look at this?
That's the way I would think of it. I think one of the reasons we struggle a little bit is that for that, let's imagine a 54-year-old woman who's postmenopausal and has a 1.6 centimeter ER/PR positive HER2 positive cancer that's node negative. The problem is that we don't know what her risk of recurrence is after she has received an aromatase inhibitor and perhaps, a course of AC chemotherapy. And given that, it's a little hard to estimate the added benefits of trastuzumab.
Why don't we know that, incidentally?
Because in fact, we don't have any of the HER2 subset analyses from the aromatase inhibitor trials. There's the suggestion from the preoperative studies that women with HER2 positive, ER positive breast cancer still get a big benefit from an aromatase inhibitor, but ATAC has not presented results based on HER2 status. So it's a big question. From a very practical standpoint, unless a woman has a contraindication to trastuzumab because of a cardiac issue, I think that any woman with node-positive breast cancer and the majority of women with ER-negative, node-negative breast cancer, particularly for a woman whose tumor is greater than a centimeter, should be strongly considered for treatment with trastuzumab. For that matter, a woman who's got a somewhat larger ER-positive, HER2-positive cancer, 2 centimeters and greater, I'd treat that woman with trastuzumab as well. The group of women who have T1, ER-positive, HER2-positive breast cancer who weren't enrolled in the U.S. studies, I'm more uncomfortable with, and I think it's just got to be done on a case-by-case basis.